This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Mom and Dickie.
Amen. Thank you, MC. Thank you, worship team. And I believe that that was the perfect description of Jesus, who has shown so much love, whom we are not just lucky to have, but we are privileged to be called his sons and daughters. Amen? So can we give him our praise and worship in the house? He deserves it. Amen. You may take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I welcome you once again to church. Welcome to the house of God. What a privilege to always be able to worship together with one another and to share the word of the Lord and encourage one another and pray together. We just want to thank God for that privilege. I bring you greetings from the shepherd of this house. He's been away and he's still traveling. We want to continue to pray for him and his safe travel and his return back. We thank God for God's mercies over him. Amen. And over my family as well. So we bless God for that. I just want to give one or two emphases on the Easter announcement. The resurrection celebration, as has been announced, is going to happen here on Sunday. On Wednesday, the midweek service is on Zoom, and that's going to mark the beginning of our Easter camp, where we'll be fasting and prayers, like the announcement said. We'll be fasting and praying for 3 days through to the Friday. So we encourage us to be a part of that. And stay also tuned to the platforms, the church platforms, because information will be going on there. And you have information regarding the schedules of fasting and praying and the prayer, noon prayer or morning devotions that will be shared, or evening prayers that will be shared in those groups. So I encourage you to just stay plugged into the church platforms so you can get those information. And another thing that will be happening, I believe, is we're going to be having a Good Friday service, which will be online. We're not going to be able to have it face-to-face, but we'll be having that online as well on Friday. So look out for all the details and time schedule for all of those information. Be a part of it and take the opportunity so that you can pray together and you pray with people. And it encourages you also to seek the face of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I trust that I'm not forgetting anything else. Amen. Let's just quieten our hearts before the Lord. Holy Spirit, this is your hour and this is your moment. Come and take preeminence. Come and do what only you can do. That is touching our innermost being, transforming us by the power of your love, renewing us, strengthening us, emboldening us, and delivering us. That is not a work that any man can do. It is your work, Holy Spirit. And we submit to you. I offer myself before you. that I may be used as your oracle to speak nothing of myself but that which comes from you, that I and your people will be blessed today through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, media team. You'll be helping us. So today, we'll be talking on Hope Rides In. That is our discuss for today, the title of our discuss for today. You see, throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament, amen, just want to make sure we're keeping to time. Throughout Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, the events surrounding Jesus' life while he was on earth were recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, and that's the first four books of the New Testament, and some were recorded in other books, and some were missed out in others. But the triumphant entry, what we call the triumphant entry, the working of Jesus into Jerusalem, at this particular point in time, was recorded in all four Gospels. And as we know, even in our contemporary world, when a witness, or when there is more than one witness, then something is established. A storyline is established once there is more than one witness. And here we have all four Gospels affirming to this event. So it's not just an event that happened, maybe that we're not sure. You know, there are certain things that scholars debate, biblical scholars debate on, you know, how it has happened, because Matt put it in this way and John put it in the other way and looked at it in that direction. And maybe one gospel didn't mention it altogether. But for this one, all four gospels confirmed it happened. And so it's established that Jesus walked into Jerusalem in this manner. Although Jesus, we see references, especially in the book of John. John recorded up to four different instances of Jesus going into Jerusalem at different points in time. Apart from the triumphant entry, before that, he did record Jesus in Jerusalem and other things. But those entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem were different, or those times where Jesus visited Jerusalem and whatever he did there were different from this particular one. So this particular entry is important and is significant, because it's a direct fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. It's the direct fulfillment of that. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Is a direct fulfillment of this prophecy. So it's so significant, and it's symbolic in so many ways. And when we commemorate events like this, we are not just commemorating an event in a calendar, but much more than that, it goes back to even the times of the Israelites when they were walking out of, when God was going to deliver them from slavery in Egypt. And he, talking about the Passover, and he said, I want you to do this over and over again, to remember this. And that was why when Jesus came, the Last Supper was actually a reflection of what that Passover feast they had in Egypt before deliverance. And we saw Jesus doing that when he came with his disciples and what we call the Last Supper. Sitting down, breaking bread, and remembering the deliverance of God, taking up the cup. Amen. And in times like this, where hope feels more like an illusion, in a world like ours that is so chaotic, filled with so many uncertainties, problems of all kinds, war from within and without, hope feels so far away. Prayers seem unanswered. Circumstances don't seem to change. Then events like this, or the commemoration of events like this, the triumphant entry, or Palm Sunday as we nickname it, comes in to bring us the hope that we have. The hope that is not dependent on circumstances or situation. The hope that is enduring. Hope that is beyond human understanding. Hope that is beyond this life here. And God knows we need it. Amen? And I'm so glad that our theme of the year as a community of believers, HICF's theme for this year is Still There Is Hope. And so Palm Sunday comes in to remind us of that hope that we have. So when Jesus walked into or rode into Jerusalem, it wasn't just a fulfillment of the prophecy, but he himself is saying, here I have come, not just to fulfill prophecy, but I have come because I am what you need. I am what you need. Amen? Of course, we're going to see in a bit how that plays out. But Jesus is saying, I have come. And in the book, that no wonder he wrote in the book, says, I have come in the book that was written about me. It was in the scroll that was written about me. And he came to be the one, the answer. So it wasn't that he brought hope with him. He is the hope. Amen. Hallelujah. And so let's just look at, I just have about 3 or 4 points to just look at and we'll be done. Amen. I trust the Holy Spirit, as always, will do the rest. So let's have the next slide, please. Amen. When hope arrived, I remember reading of the story, and evangelist Billy Graham, the late Billy Graham, once mentioned it in one of his crusades as well, and I've read that story, of a man who was drowning from a ship that was wrecked at sea, and he was drowning, and he was crying out to God, God, help me! God, save me! And then there was a small boat with a man who was fishing, and he had a flashlight, and he came by, and when he heard the scream of this man, and he came by, and he said, come on, son, come on, jump over. And the man ignored him and continued to look up. God, where are you? Save me. And the man, the fisherman with his little boat got tired and he rowed away, okay? He rowed away, rather. It's a boat, right? So you row away. And after some time, another batch of people came in and they noticed from a distance, they could hear him, and they rowed by and stood beside him and say, "Hey, jump in, we can take you to shore, jump in." And he looked at them. "No, I'm asking God to save me. God, where are you? Save me." Now his deliverance came, and up to three instances. And that story, of course, I do believe that that story is has either an illustrative part of it and everything. And it says at the end, God said, "I sent you three boats and a helicopter, and you refused to take them. And you were crying to me, 'God, save me.'" Why? Because when his salvation came, his deliverance came, it came in such a humble way that he did not recognize that that was his salvation. He was probably, in his mind, he had a mental picture of how he expected God to save him. Maybe some lightning, perhaps a description of either Psalms 37 or so, I believe, where David was saying, he parted the heavens and came down and he rode on the chariots of the cloud and he came down to deliver me. Probably that was what he had at the back of his mind. Wanted to see the heavens splitting and lightning coming and a hand coming down from heaven to rescue him from the water. But because salvation came in such a humble way, he missed it. And it wasn't different. At the time of Jesus, they were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for a savior, a messiah. They were. They had the prophecy. They had the Torah. They had the prophecy. They know that the messiah is going to come. And they were looking for that. And when the Messiah came, they missed it. They missed the Messiah. When hope arrived, because it did not look like their stereotype of what hope should look like, they missed it. And many a times, we are like that. Because the answer to our prayers did not appear in the way we have mapped it out for the Lord. If you are like me, there are sometimes, you know, you pray and then you already figure out how you want that prayer to be answered. Exactly. If I just walk out now, maybe I will see somebody that I've not seen for a long time and they will say hello to me and they will give me 1,000 RMB. Answered prayer of God's provision. Maybe if I'm sick, maybe I just go drink water. I'll just pray over this water, drink it, and then I'll be well. And then you go drink the water, and no, the headache is still there. You're still throwing up. Helen, is that because we have already mapped out for God how we want him to save us, how we want that salvation to be, how we want that hope to come. They expected that, but somehow God has a reputation of coming in the ways that you do not expect. Throughout scripture, we see that happening over and over and over again. When Jesus arrived on the planet Earth, at the manger when he was born, nobody recognized that he was the King of Kings being born in a manger, because he came in such a humble way that people missed it. Friends, when you see Jesus, when he stepped into your situation, will you recognize him? Will you recognize him or will you miss him? Because he came in such a humble way. He did not come in a chariot. He did not come as a powerful conquering king. But he came in that simplicity on a donkey. He came in such a humble way. And the workings of God in our lives today might come in a humble way, that we might miss it if we're not careful. That little person we despise, that little gesture of love, that little word of encouragement, that prayer that someone held your hand and prayed with, could be your deliverance, could be your breakthrough. But will you miss it or you will recognize it? Hope arrives in a humble way. Amen. Hallelujah. Hope is misunderstood by the crowd. They did not just not recognize him as the King of Kings. They recognized him. Of course, they recognized that there was something special about him. And a lot of them probably knew of the miracles he did and everything. But their recognition in that place was the recognition that there was something special about him. And could he be? It was a could he be? And sometimes when we see certain things, and even though the Spirit of God is telling us, you know, to move in that direction, but we still have that, could he be? Or maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, no, walk away. But we are like, no, could he be? They recognize, could he be? But what was there, could he be, is being translated here on the slide. They misunderstood him because they thought he was here to deliver them from Roman oppression. It was important for them that they have a picture of a deliverer who will come and fit their mark of how they were going to be delivered from Roman oppression, that he's going to probably lead a revolution, a revolt against the Roman rule, and they will all probably crown him king, and then this big warrior king that will conquer Rome. And that was their picture of him. And so the misunderstanding set in because Jesus didn't come to do that. In fact, even his disciples at the point, they asked him, would you at this time deliver us from the Roman oppression? Will you at this time restore the kingdom to us? They wanted a freedom from Rome. They wanted immediate relief, a king who fits their expectation. But Jesus came to offer something far more authentic, far more genuine and lasting. He came to offer them freedom from sin and death. These are things that they could never do for themselves. No matter how much weapons they have, no matter how many chariots they have, they can never free themselves from the oppression of the enemy. Death and sin, eternal condemnation. They can never give themselves life eternal. And this was what Jesus came to do. Beyond the physical. Beyond the physical. But they misunderstood it. They were looking at immediate relief. And many a times, because we're looking for immediate relief and immediate solution, we misunderstand the purposes of God. And over again, we see this. Even Apostle Paul in his letters says, your present suffering is not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. The glory that is prepared for you in heaven. They did not understand it. And that was why when Jesus came, they were chanting, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the Hosanna was literally translated, save us. In fact, some translations say, save us now. Save us now. But they didn't know that he came to save, not just for now, but for eternity. Amen. Aren't you glad that that is what Jesus came to do? Not just to save us for now, not just to provide money in my pocket now, not just to give me healing now, not just to give me a good husband now, not just to give me a good wife now, not just to give me a good car or a good job, or not just to help me graduate, not just to help me get that publication accepted, not just now, but for the hereafter, so that in life eternal, where you live with Christ forever and ever. And the Bible says that there will be no more pain and no more sorrow. And there everything is new. And there we will live in the presence of God where everything is available. Beyond our imagination. And scripture says, what eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, what God has prepared for us who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that caused a reason for us to shout, Hosanna, not just for now, but Hosanna for what he has done to secure our eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you want Jesus for who he is or for what he can do for you? Yes, he's a healer. Yes, he has the power. Quite frankly, he has the power to overthrow the Roman government. And that was why when Jesus was going to be arrested in the garden, and he told Peter, put up your sword. If I want, I could call legion of angels to attend to me, to come and fight for me. So he has the power to do that. Yes, he can heal. Yes, he can deliver. Yes, he can do that. But he knows that that is not the essence. That's not the point. The point is to secure eternity. And that was what he came for. And sometimes we get discouraged. And we say, because God, I've been praying for this for such a long time. I've prayed for 5 years for this. And nothing has changed. Relief has not come. Answer has not come. Does God really hear my prayer? Is there really hope for me? Yes, there is hope. And this hope is Jesus. Amen. What happens when Jesus failed to meet our expectations? When Jesus failed to meet your expectation, when he didn't answer things the way you anticipated them, what happens? Sadly, a few days after those people shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A few days after, the same crowd shouted, "Crucify him!" Because he has failed to meet their human expectations. Do you and I shout, "Crucify him," when he did not answer those prayers? Crucify him. I'm no longer coming to Bible study because God did not answer my prayer. Crucify him. Why did I get fired in my job? That church thing doesn't work anymore. Crucify him. I've spent my time praying every morning and praying every night. Prayer doesn't work because he let my father or my mother pass away, or my relationship was broken. What do we do when Jesus did not meet our human expectations? That's something to ponder on. Amen. Hope moves toward the cross. Jesus knew exactly what awaits him. In fact, he said, "For this reason, the Son of Man has come. For the cross." That was what he came for. He knew there was going to be betrayal. He knew there's going to be suffering. He knew that the nails and the cross awaits him. Yet, he chose it anyway. Because he is hope. He is hope. Amen. He knew exactly what awaits him. And he knew the road is not an easy one. That was why when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that he prayed and the agony that he felt until his sweat was as blood. And he prayed, he said, "Father, if this be thy will, let this cup pass over me." Because he knew the magnitude of what it would be to carry not just the sin of one man, not just the sin of one tribe or one clan, not just the sin of the Jews, not just the sin of my family, not just the sin of HICF, but the sin of the entire humanity. He knows that it will not be an easy one. But he chose it anyway. He chose it when he said, "Let your will be done." He chose it anyway. 2 Timothy 3:12 said, "All those who intend to live godly lives," which is you and I, "who pledge allegiance to Jesus, who have decided to go the way of Jesus, the way of the cross, we will be persecuted." It's not an easy road. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be misjudged. You're going to be lied upon. You're going to be cheated. You're going to be deceived. You're going to be humiliated. You're going to be undermined. Because that's the way of the cross. But because we know for the glory set ahead of him, he chose it anyway. For the glory set for us, eternity, we choose it anyway. We choose the way of the cross anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is hope. And Palm Sunday, a day like this, it's a reminder and opportunity to redirect us back to that way of the cross. to realign us, our priorities, our lives, our ambition, to realign it back to the way of the cross. And we have to do that intentionally. We have to choose it willingly. Amen. We have to choose it intentionally. Not being compelled, not being forced. Amen. Because hope rides in to our lives today. And it comes deliberately, intentionally. Jesus does not force anyone to follow him. Even though he is hope himself, he is offering himself. But friends, he is not forcing you and I to embrace him. For hope is not forcing us to embrace it. He's just calling us to acknowledge our need for him. That we need hope in this life that we live. We need hope. And he has come persuasively, gently, encouraging, sometimes even pampering and pleading with us to let hope into our lives. Let hope into different areas of our lives. Let hope into our fears, into our uncertainties, into our brokenness, our confusion and addiction, our challenges, our inadequacies. Let hope come in. We don't have what it takes, but he has, because he is hope. And today, hope rides in. He rides into our lives. And at least, in spite of the fact that they misunderstood hope, they misunderstood Jesus, in spite of the fact that their conception of his coming was flawed, but in their humanity, they display a genuine act of surrender by waving those palm branches and removing some of their clothes and laying them on the floor. Humanly speaking, a genuine act of surrender. And the question is, we, you and I, that recognize that this is who Jesus is, his true hope, and he has come not just to deliver us from the Roman oppression, from the physical oppression, but to give us a life, the Bible says, an inheritance that will neither spoil nor perish. We that recognize the finished work of the cross, we that recognize the authenticity of the deliverance, and we that experience the transformative power of Jesus, how much more will we lay down all that we are and all that we have for him? The question is, what are you laying down? Maybe we have laid down a few other things, but still we still have few more others that we're holding back to. Mm-mm. That would be too humiliating for me to forgive. You have no idea how much she has hurt me. You have no idea what that guy did to me. And you want me to forgive just like that? Mm-mm. I can forgive any other thing. I can lay down every other thing. I can lay down my time. I can even fast for 1 month if Jesus wants me to. But to forgive that one sin, mm-mm. What can we not lay down for the cause of the cross? Our pride, our ego, our names, our reputation, our fame, our achievements, our careers, our families, our backgrounds, wife, children, affinities, desires, hobbies. What can we not lay down for Jesus? Hallelujah. Finally, hope rides in, and his name is Jesus. Colossians 1:27. The B part of it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we welcome Christ into our lives, we have welcomed hope. And Romans 5:5 says, and this hope does not disappoint. It may tarry, but it will not disappoint. Yes, it might not seem like it is working right now, but it will not disappoint. Things might look like they are really not going to change, but in the end, it will not disappoint. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So friends, whatever you are experiencing today, I don't know your story. I don't know what challenges you are facing today. I don't know how you came to church. Some of you, maybe it wasn't easy waking up and coming to church. Maybe some of you were so discouraged. Maybe some of you were so unmotivated because of all the things. Maybe you have received bad news from your family back home. Maybe you have received bad news from school and from your professor. Whatever it is, maybe a bad hospital report. Maybe an addiction you've been trying to break free. Maybe it's a pain that is within you, something that you've not even been able to share with anybody. Maybe it's something that really has a stronghold in your life. And you were so reluctant to come in today. Well, maybe God wants you to hear this sermon today. He wants you to know that there is hope. And this hope is him. And so long as you welcome him into your life, he is riding in, maybe not with a thunderous shout, not with lightning and shattering of the heavens, but maybe he's coming in a humble way on a donkey. But he is coming anyway. Amen. He is coming anyway, and he's coming for you. And this hope does not disappoint. So friends, let's choose hope today, recognizing him, acknowledging him, and then let's choose him. Amen. Let's choose faith over fear. Let's choose forgiveness. Let's choose joy over sadness and burden and rejection and hurt. Let's choose love. Let's choose hope, because hope does not disappoint. And Palm Sunday today is a reminder to choose hope, not just on a Palm Sunday, but choose hope always. Hallelujah. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Make this an intimate moment. Invite him into areas of your life where maybe there's been hurting. Maybe there's been challenges. Maybe there's pressure. Maybe there's inadequacies. Whatever weaknesses are there, his hope. And he says, I am riding in. Will you let me in? Do you recognize me? That small, still voice just like the prophet, when he saw a wild wind and he thought God must be there, but God was not in that wild wind. And the Bible says he came in that small, still voice. Will you recognize the voice of hope in that subtle way? Today, invite him into your situation. There's hope for you and I because of this prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. See, your king coming to you. See, Jesus is coming into my situation. See, Jesus is coming in. Hope is riding in. And this hope does not disappoint. Worship team, please. Yes, worship team. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We give you praise, oh God. Because you are our hope. And you are coming in. Not just once in a calendar time, but every day we wake up and we invite you in, you ride into our lives, you ride into our mess to clean it up, you ride into our darkness to bring light, you ride into our delusion to bring hope. Not just on a Palm Sunday, but every single day. What a God and what a love. And as a church, we embrace you today. And we lay down our palm branches and our clothes. We lay down our pride. We lay down ourselves. We lay down all that we have and all that we are. No treasure, no prize, no beauty. Everything we lay down. Because we recognize this King. Cries in us the hope of glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.